Welcome to the Anywhere Office.
Hi, this is Phil Montero of theanywhereoffice.com, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. This episode is part of our 13-part series, Telecommuting in the 21st Century, How to Implement or Improve Virtual Teams and Flexible Work in Your Organization. Our panel includes myself, Jeff Zabar, founder of ChiefHomeOfficer.com, who will be facilitating the discussion, and Rachel Hastings, vice president of WFCResources.com. Today in Part 8, we'll be discussing how to manage expectations and the importance of having clear, measurable objectives, getting feedback, and providing training. Take it away, Jeff.
Managing expectations for involvement and output. Rachel, talk to me a little bit about how to work with the organization, how to work across management and down to the telework, and even if the manager's a telework, to make sure the expectations and involvement and output are met.
Sure, and I think the key here is the training. Absolutely. You can't expect people to just do this without any kind of training. And training will bring out some of the more personal and emotional issues folks might have around it, fears, resistance, myths they've heard, hurdles that they think are going to be greater, and then you can meet that with these are the solutions that we have, these are the procedures. And as Phil mentioned, this is not going to be a giant step away from what you're already doing. So some managers might want to go right through the performance management training again. Some people might need to go to the training on how to use their Citrix, GoMeeting, or their WebEx technology and how to run more effective meetings with a virtual team. So, you know, that training piece is really going to get people prepared as well.
Absolutely. Phil?
Yeah, the training is an essential piece, and I'm glad you said what you mentioned about running effective meetings with distributed teams. I think that's something that far too many people take for granted. They just think, oh, we know how to have a conference call. But I think there are some strategies there that can really be learned to improve that kind of collaboration. And I think, you know, bullet point number three there about revisit regularly to ensure the measures of morale. I mean, you're going to set benchmarks and measuring sticks for yourself of what it is you expect. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is to kind of sit down and have an open discussion between the manager and the team or the employees, the entire team, those working on and off-site, about what is our ideal teamwork going to look like? How is this going to work? If we were firing on all cylinders, if we were doing this perfectly, let's come up with four or five bullets of what our ideal team would look and work and feel and sound like. And now you've set kind of a picture for yourself of what does it look like to be successful. Then when you come back and revisit it regularly, you could go back to that and say, okay, if we achieved this, are we doing this? If not, what can we do this better? Well, if we've mastered this, are there new things that we would add to this in light of the fact that we've been working this way now? So I really think it's very much an ongoing rinse and repeat type of cycle where you need to continue to fine-tune it over time.
The shampoo of workplace management, wash, rinse, repeat. And point four there can't be overlooked either. I mean, non-teleworking colleagues and customers and people who are affected by telework, especially on the colleague, peer, and sort of coworker side, you know, it used to be the lament was that it was all about family. Originally, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I want to be at home because I want greater family balance. Then people who are single would say, hey, wait a second. You know, I may not have kids, I may not have a partner, I may not have family in town, but that doesn't mean I don't need work-life balance. So we got to make sure that, you know, while we've migrated and evolved beyond just saying, okay, Phil has a child, he wants to be home a little bit more, or shorten his commute so he has longer mornings and longer afternoons at home, you know, we have to make sure that everyone's included in this equation. As
Jeff,
we move,
go
ahead.
Sorry, I would just go beyond that. This is a pretty important point. I don't think the employee should state a personal reason for needing to work flexibly, and it should not be asked of them either, because that puts a manager in a difficult position of deciding between Phil, who wants to look after his aging father at home, and Rachel, who wants to go train for a marathon, and
right.
Who is the more worthy of having that arrangement. So I think that should be kind of kept out of it, but got general guidelines around caregiving and telework not being mixed up should be given.
Right, absolutely. And that point that I brought up earlier about it should not be, you know, in as much as, you know, telework should not be so that I can do the lawn in the middle of the day, it shouldn't be so that we can care for children, care for seniors, to avoid situations that otherwise working might create.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Anywhere Office Podcast. For more information and other tips on working from anywhere, visit us at theanywhereoffice.com. Join us next week for part 9 of our series on telecommuting in the 21st century, where we'll share some tips for how to maintain the security and confidentiality of your data and work product.